Today I'm going to be talking about what is the true good news. You may know that as the gospel, but we call it the good news. Gospel means good news. So what is the true good news? I want to talk about that today. Let me start off with a little story here. There's a story about a particular Indian tribe who was suffering from the effects of a severe drought. And the food became very scarce, and the members of the tribe were beginning to steal from one another in order to survive. Well, the chief knew that that would be the death of the tribe. So he issued a law that the next person that was caught stealing would be taken to the center of the village. That person would be tied to a pole and then publicly whipped in front of everybody. So the next day, sure enough, a thief was caught. And everyone turned up to see who it was so they could witness the punishment. But to everybody's shock and surprise, it turned out to be the chief's own mother. She was the one who was stealing. So what was he going to do, this chief? He was a good chief, and he could not justly ignore the law that he had just made the day before. He had to be just. But good grief, that was his mother, whom he loved. And she was old and frail, and the beating would probably kill her. Well, here's what he did. He ordered that her wrists be tied to the pole so that the beating could begin. And he calls the punisher to step forward with the whip in hand. But before he gives the order to commence, he steps in between his mom and the whip, the punisher. He stretches out his broad shoulders across her frail back. And with her body completely protected underneath his own, he orders that the punishment be carried out. And as those cords whip, and it continues to whip, they fall on him. And he absorbs the full brunt of her penalty. In that act, he was both just in carrying out the penalty, and loving by suffering it himself. And that's what Yeshua did for us. Exactly what he did for us. We're guilty of breaking his laws, all of us here. We are guilty, absolutely guilty of breaking his laws. And we know it. We know it. Every one of us has a list of things that we're ashamed of, and things that we can't stop doing even though we know that it's wrong, we still do it. And the Bible's clear that that sin earns a penalty and that God is just. The penalty has to be paid. It must be paid. But it's also clear that God loves each and every one of us so much. He wants good things for us. He doesn't want us to be punished. So here's what he did. He declared that we were guilty, and he ordered that the penalty be paid. Then he came to earth. He became a man, and he hung on a tree for us. And when Yeshua was being nailed and crucified, what he was doing was stepping in between us who are guilty and God the Father, who demanded justice. He absorbed the blows of that punishment so that we wouldn't have to. Now, isn't that a beautiful story? And isn't it so true? What God has done for us. We were guilty as all get out. But he stood in between us and the punisher and took it all upon himself. And by his stripes, we are healed. Thank you, Lord. So as I mentioned earlier, I was talking about what is that, the true good news. What is this message? You know, the standard Christian response to this question, if you go to a minister or a pastor or a priest, you know, what is the good news or what is the gospel? And the standard response to this question normally is it has to do with the life and the death and the resurrection and the ascension, the exaltation and the return of Yeshua the Messiah. And also, we as an individual attaining salvation by putting our faith and trust in Him. And yes, that's a message that we need to be telling a lost and a dying world. However, there's a whole lot more to that. We have to go back a little further. You know, Scripture tells us in Mark chapter 26, 13, Matthew 26, 13, Mark 10, 19, or 29, Luke 20, verse 1, it says that Yeshua himself preached the good news, or he preached the gospel prior to his death. Now we know that he never preached believing in his resurrected self to anyone. The same thing goes for his Talmudim, his disciples. They went out, and the Word of God says that they went out and they preached the good news. They preached the gospel. We see that in Luke chapter 9. But again, they preached that good news, that gospel, before Yeshua's death. Nor do we see them preaching in the risen Messiah before Yeshua even died. Yet they're preaching the good news. So what is this good news that they are preaching, that they're talking about? You know, we're also told that the good news was preached to the children of Israel in Moses' time. Now, how could that be if we see the good news as being the life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, exaltation of Yeshua? How was that preached to the children of Israel? It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 through 6, it says, "For we also have had good news proclaimed to us just as they did." And he's talking about the children of Israel. "But the word they heard did not help them, because they were not unified with those who listened in faith." It goes on to say, "So then it remains for some to enter into it, yet those who formerly had the good news, which are the children of Israel, proclaimed to them, did not enter because of disobedience." So again, we see the good news being taught, preached, before we even had what modern man says is the good news, the life, the death, burial, resurrection of Yeshua. No, the good news is not a new message of the New Covenant or the New Testament. It's not something new. In its widest sense, it's everything that the Torah and the prophets pointed to. That is, they pointed to the Messiah. They pointed to what's known in Hebrew as Tikkun Olam, the repairing or the restoration of the world. That's what the good news is pointing to. Specifically, it relates to also what's known as the Yovel or the Jubilee, which was the release of man from his burdens that we see in Leviticus chapter 25, which was given as a foreshadowing of the acceptable year of the Lord. And Yeshua pointed to this when he was in the temple and he read this passage in Luke chapter 4. If you have your scriptures, you should see this. Luke 4, starting at verse 14, it says, "Then Yeshua returned in the power of the Ruach." He returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. "And the news of him went throughout all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all." So he came to Nazareth. Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Shabbat. And he stood up to read. And he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Now, I don't have a scroll of the prophet Isaiah, but here we have a scroll of Esther and we have a scroll of Ruth. And Yeshua was handed the scroll. And it says here, and when he had opened it, he found the place where it is written, and he proclaimed, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news." Again, the good news, and this is prior to the death of Yeshua and his resurrection. He was preaching the good news. "To preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then it says, then he closed the scroll. And he gave it back to the shamash, who was the attendant. And sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue, they were fixed on him. What was he saying? What is this message he's saying? This good news that he's proclaiming. All their eyes were on him. Fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." We see this scripture from Isaiah 61, where Yeshua read from, literally fulfilled in his life. And we see that so clearly in Luke chapter 7, verse 22. When the Talmudim, the disciples of John the Immerser, came to Yeshua, asking him, these were John's disciples, they had heard all about Yeshua, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, all that was going around. And John's disciples came to Yeshua to ask him, "Are you the one we've been waiting for?" In other words, are you the Messiah that we have been waiting for? And listen what Yeshua said in Luke chapter 7, 22. And he is reiterating what he said earlier and read from Isaiah 61. "Go report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them." What is this good news? Again, it goes back to the Yovel, the Jubilee. It has to do with the release, the restoration, release from your blindness, release from being deaf, release from the leprosy, a release of freedom. You are set free by the blood of the Lamb of God. This is the good news that the prophets spoke of, that the Torah spoke of. And in these two scriptures from the book of Luke, that we just read, Yeshua was clearly saying, "I am the Messiah, and I have come to initiate the Yovel. I have come to initiate the Jubilee, the release from your bondage. That's why I have come." That's why he read that scripture from Isaiah 61. It's been fulfilled in front of your eyes. "I have come to set you free from your burdens, to bring about the Jubilee, to set you free and make you whole again. This is the good news message. And that message that he proclaimed and John the Immerser proclaimed and the apostles and disciples, his followers proclaimed, is that the kingdom of God is here. It's here in the person of Yeshua, the Messiah. He was the manifestation of the kingdom of God in our midst. When you saw him, you saw the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. It's the good news message, again, that they all proclaimed. And again, this was prior to the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, exaltation, and return of Yeshua. The good news message was that he would come to take your sins away, that he would come to cleanse you, to set you free, a release, a jubilee in your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In other words, God's kingdom has come in the person of Yeshua the Messiah, who has come to bring about the Yovel, the Jubilee, the release that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, to set us free from our burdens and to bring about the Tikkun Olam, the repairing and the restoration of the world and the aligning of the upper and the lower worlds, the realigning, the bringing together of the heaven and earth again in our midst. Thank you, Lord. Yeshua clearly establishes this in Mark 1:15 when he says, "Now is the fullness of time." Goes on to say, "And the kingdom of God is near. Turn away from your sins, repentance, and believe, have faith in the good news." And in the scripture, we see the message and the meaning of what's known as the gospel, the good news. That is, that the prophecy of Isaiah that Yeshua said is fulfilled in your hearing. In Luke 4, the Yovel, the release and the restoration has come. And the kingdom of God in the person of Messiah, Yeshua, is upon us. Therefore, repent of your sins and believe in this good news. That's what he's saying. And again, all before his death, burial, and resurrection. This is the message of the prophets. As believers in the Messiah Yeshua, we need to understand what is the true good news of the kingdom of God that we need to proclaim to this world. Simply, that man is by nature sinful, that we are separated from God, with no hope of remedying or having a remedy for that situation. It's hopeless. But God, by his power, provided the means of man's redemption in the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Yeshua the Messiah. But to truly comprehend how good this news is, we first must understand the bad news. As a result of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, which we see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, every part of man, his mind, his will, his emotions, and flesh have been corrupted by sin. And because of man's sinful nature, our sinful nature, we cannot, on our own power, seek God. In our sin, we have no desire to come to God. And in fact, our mind is even hostile toward God, as it says in Romans 8, verse 7. But God has declared that man's sins doom him to eternity in hell, separated from God. It is in hell that man pays the penalty of sin against a holy and a righteous God. And this would truly be bad news if there were no remedy, if there was no way to escape. But in the good news, God in his mercy has provided a remedy for us, a substitute for us, and that is Yeshua the Messiah, who came to pay the penalty for our sin, by a sacrifice on the tree. This is the essence of the good news, which Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, preached to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verses 2 through 4, he explains the three elements of the good news, which are the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah on our behalf. Our old nature died with Messiah on that tree and was buried with him. Then we were resurrected with him to a new life, as it says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. The resurrection is the proof of the power of God. That is the proof of the power of God. Only he who created life can resurrect it after death. He can reverse the hideousness that is in death itself. And only he can remove that sting that is death and the victory that is the graves. 1 Corinthians 15 speaks of that. Further, and like all other religions, the one, and I don't even like to call Christianity or our belief as a religion, maybe as a faith. And all other faiths, this faith that we have alone possesses a founder who transcended death and who promised that his followers would do the same. No one else did that. All other, and I can call the others, all other religions were founded by men and prophets whose end was the grave. No more. Rav Shaul tells us to hold firmly to this true good news. The only good news that can save. Believing in any other thing is to believe in vain. In Romans 1:16 through 17, Rav Shaul, again, the Apostle Paul, also declares that the true good news is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. That's the power of salvation. The power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. By which he means that salvation is not achieved by man's efforts. There's nothing you or I can do at all, but by the grace of God through the gift of faith, as it speaks of in Ephesians chapter 2. And because of this good news, through the power of God, those who believe in the Messiah, as it says in Romans 10, are not just saved from hell. We are in fact given a completely new nature. We are a new creation in the Messiah, Yeshua. The old is gone, the new has come. If you're not a new creation, something's wrong. There's got to be change in you. You have to be different. You can't be the same person before and after you receiving the Lord. There has to be something. There has to be a metamorphosis that takes place. You have to turn from that little caterpillar pillar to that beautiful butterfly. That has to take place in your life. Thank you, Lord. You have to have a changed heart and a new desire and a new will and an attitude that's manifested in good works. This is the fruit of the Ruach, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is produced by His power that lives within us. And we know that works is never a means of salvation, but they're the proof. It's a proof that something has changed in your life as you do good works for the kingdom of God. And those who are saved by the power of God will always show the evidence of salvation by a changed life, a transformed life. Thank you, Lord. This good news message, it's a bold message. And we're not to be ashamed of it. Not ashamed to proclaim it. To tell it, to announce it on the rooftops. It's a powerful message, this good news. Because it's God's good news. Very powerful. It's a saving message. The only thing that can truly transform the human's heart. It's a universal message. It's for Jews and Gentiles both. It's regardless of race, regardless of Male, female, doesn't make a difference. It's a universal message for all the world. And the good news is received by faith, because salvation is that free gift of God. Thank you, Lord. So what are we to do with this good news, this message that we have? What do we do with it? Do we keep it like a precious jewel or a ring somebody gave us, or a pearl of great price? Do we go and bury it in the ground?